From Team, I'm Madison McGregor, and this is Mind Time with Madison. Today, we're talking about how to talk about mental health with Nicole Boddy.
Hi!
Hi!
How's it going?
Good! Nicole, thank you so much for being here and sharing yourself with our audience. Can you describe yourself to our audience and tell us about yourself and, in your own words, kind of describe your journey into the world of mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm born and raised Texan, grew up in a small town called Abilene, and spent my childhood there, lived in Amarillo for a while, went to school in Lubbock, and then moved to Colorado after, where I met my now husband. We met in 2013, and he is the absolute love of my life, and we knew it was just love at first sight. And we were married within the next 14 months. And so it was just incredible. We spent the last 8 years in Colorado and just made a move to Texas. And so we've had a lot of amazing adventures, a lot of journeys, a lot of ups and downs, as we all do in life. But we are really glad to be here. And I'm just excited to be here today. Really where it all started for me with mental health, I didn't really know it was mental health perspectives that I was developing. But as a child, I lived in a home that was very private. We didn't really expose our feelings, our thoughts, what was really going on in public. And so I kind of compare it a little bit to Frozen, in the sense of how they told Elsa, conceal, don't feel. Mm. And so we just really didn't talk about things a lot. So a lot of things were suppressed. And so kind of what I was learning at the beginning is, if you feel anything outside of being joyful, being excited, things are going great, we just don't talk about it, and you deal with it yourself and you deal with it at home. And I think that that really caused me to develop some issues and a foundation as I was growing up, of whenever I was coming across problems and trials and hardships, of how to process that, how to handle that. And so this has been years of in the making, and then also years in the healing as well. And so it's been quite a journey with mental health, but it's overall, the only thing that I can really truly say is there is hope. There is hope. And, you know, when you feel too far gone or too far away for there to be a place to turn around, that there is hope. And so that's really where my introduction, kind of a brief up and down of the journey, and just where I'm at right now, and just feel very filled with hope and just want to share that with others who might feel somewhere along the journey with me, whether it's right where I was right at the beginning or coming out on the other side of where do I go now. So yeah,
my gosh, I can totally, like, the feeling is mutual, even though I'm in Toronto, Canada. Like, it's cross-culturally, it's something that is almost an epidemic, I feel like, not feeling comfortable to talk about our mental health. So What is kind of the origin story behind, I think this is kind of a bit of a relation to your mission to really share joy, and what that origin story kind of is, and how that probably stemmed from a lot of your experiences in the past.
Absolutely. So I think as I went through a cancer diagnosis, so I was diagnosed with cancer in 2017. And it was really amazing watching people show up, friends, family, loved ones, complete strangers show up and come alongside me in this journey. And especially whenever you struggle or feeling like you're alone, or, you know, do people really care, and watching people step up, that was incredible. On the same token, you also watch people walk away. And that's hard to understand and grasp too. But I think really what happened in that moment is I realized, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you're going to get a carton of eggs and you open it up to check them and you see that there is an egg that is cracked, you're like, oh, I don't want this. And so you close it and you put it away and kind of discard it as damaged, broken, not worthy, not okay, something is wrong with it. I think that that's sometimes what maybe I had been doing. Is so if people walked away, even if there were 11 good eggs and one that was broken or something that fell apart, it kind of just rained down and feeling like everything was wrong, or everything was going wrong, or I was a problem. And you kind of miss the other great things that are happening around you, even when just one thing or two things have broken down. And so that really started kind of this movement in my heart of really counting my blessings and really being thankful and focusing on the things that were good. And there are just things that we're just not going to understand. You know, there are things that I didn't understand why people walked away. And especially in survivorship, that was really hard too. And after I became well, watching people walk away and, you know, just kind of taking a step back and just being grateful for the people that were with me. And so the more that I've walked through that, that has really sparked of wanting to share joy. And on the same token too, just inspiring people just to find things in their life that bring joy to them, and just doing things that you love, and just realizing just how short this life is, and just making the most out of it, because circumstances are going to come and go and life is going to be hard, and working through that and sharing our stories and being able to relate to each other. Like you said, we stretch across from Texas to Canada.
Yep.
We're experiencing some of the same things here. So being able to share that and hear people say, wow, me too, or I felt that way, has been very eye-opening. And you really realize you're not traveling alone in this.
Yeah, I love how you worded that too, because it's all about this shared fate we all experience, which is the fact that, like, we're going to experience some kind of struggle, even though some of that spectrum might be a little different for everyone, like where they fall. But yeah, I love that, what you shared. And can you maybe share, like you said, I love that analogy of the egg, like wanting to get rid of that broken egg. And I love that way of like identifying when you're struggling and what those next steps could look like. So for you, like when you started to realize that there were people there that weren't supporting you, or that you were going through a bit of a rough time, what was next for you? How did you get yourself back to a healthy place? What did that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So a big part for me, and this is something that I recommend for anybody who feels alone, feels isolated, feel like they're battling. One thing that I started doing actually the day that I was diagnosed, and I did through the entire diagnosis journey, was journaling. Mm. And writing really helped me process through my thoughts. And, you know, because at some point, you know, when you're up late at night or you can't sleep and you kind of feel alone in your thoughts and things feel scrambled and really big, I think sometimes funneling them into a spot and putting them on paper, not to minimize it or to say that it's not that big, but it kind of helps us get kind of the jumbleness of everything going on in a place. It almost feels a little bit more controlled and confined than bouncing around in our heads. And we have a little bit more of a grasp on it. And so that was a huge way for me to process through. And especially on, you know, like you said, middle of the night, you wake up and you can't fall back asleep, or you're just struggling. That was a really great way to help me through difficult nights or sleepless nights or times, you know, I had a lot of symptoms and I was really sick. And I was waking up every 3 hours to take pills. And so, you know, this was something that really helped me process, to help me walk through this. And again, taking all of the thoughts bouncing around, putting them in a place and kind of taking a little bit more control of it and seeing it in front of me, rather than it just bouncing around free reign like a wild bull in my head, you know?
Yeah. I love so much that you journal. This is not the first time I've heard about journaling and the effect it has. And I love too how you shared that it kind of just made it feel contained and controlled. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote that I heard that said, writing is a form of thinking. And that sounds exactly what you realized in that moment, for sure.
Absolutely. There's another quote too, I really like to kind of piggyback on that. And I'm going to butcher this, and I don't know who said this, but it was something along the lines that I didn't know what I was thinking until I wrote it down. And it was just kind of, I thought that was really powerful too, because it really, for me, getting those thoughts out on paper really helped me process through a lot of things and where my mind was in the moment.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Okay. 1 minute. Sorry. My grandma's just letting out our dog.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I don't want to like it to step over the audio.
You're fine.
You're sharing so, oh my God, like everything you're saying just resonates so much. And like, we're team's audience is a bunch of young adults. So it's like what you're sharing, it's just like, so, so valuable, Nicole. Like, great. It's awesome. So thank you. Thank you. You've done this before, lady. Like, you're
this is great. Talk about mental health. So this is really great for me, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's a huge focus of my cancer story. You know, we talked about the specifics of what's happening with cancer, and this is really cool because now it's basically what's been happening in my mind along the cancer journey. So cancer kind of is taking a back seat, and we're really talking about what has been going on in my mind and in my heart. And that's really cool. I actually have never done this before. So this is really neat to be able to talk about it and process even in a different perspective. Even something like this, I think, helps with the processing through mental health, through depression, loneliness, anxiety, just being able to talk, to be heard or to listen to. And just, we're just in a community. We're all in this together. The human race, like, we are in this together. And so.
Yeah. My gosh. It's so true. It's like, this, and it's great too. I mean, like, with the online space now, it's like this, it's great to not feel like you're not alone. Like, it's this other community. I mean,
absolutely.
Can you share a bit more about the role your support network played during your transition, through, you know, the ups and downs of your health, and maybe just any time of your life, really, and how that kind of went from being in a survival state to a thriving state for you?
Yeah, absolutely. This one's hard for me to talk about without crying, because I love my husband so much, and he has loved me through every up and down, and he walked through this with me when I was diagnosed in 2017 with a rare type of cancer called sarcoma. It was at stage 3, and the procedure that I needed and the treatment that I needed was going to require a relocation in order to keep me alive. And that was huge. You know, we have our lives, like, we have rent that we're paying and bills and student loans and everything. And I just remember him coming up alongside me, and he said, "I don't care what it takes, I'm going with you." And it was seeing somebody who had said vows to an unknown future that you can't know actually live them out when push came to shove was the most inspiring thing. My respect and love and loyalty for him has grown in incredible ways. And it sometimes feels like a dream, and I could pinch myself, because he has just been the most loving person, and he was at every single appointment. Still to this day, he has not missed a single appointment for blood work, for CT scans. And so it was huge. It was so incredibly huge. I didn't let everybody in that close. Mm-hmm. Not that I even had the capacity mentally for that, to keep up with people in that way, but he really helped and kind of answered calls and text messages. And I had a Caring Bridge page. And so my mentor and my husband, Wes, they actually ran my Caring Bridge page for me and gave people updates. And I also was able to input content as well to update friends and family on what was going on. So it was huge just having somebody in the depths. And I think what was really hard and what might be relatable in a mental health discussion is sometimes you just feel like a burden. And that's really, really tough. And I'm such a doer. I am type A. I am planned out for months in advance. My favorite thing to do is to plan like an itinerary for a vacation. Any of my friends would laugh if they're watching this right now, because I love doing that. It's so much fun, so exhilarating for me. And to be in a state where I needed so much help, I think what is really interesting and really a blessing that I learned about is whenever we're in a state like this, and you might be the person who's the giver or the helper, or you're always the one coming to the rescue or the planner. And to see that happen from other people, it's kind of a blessing to see, like, wow, like, they want to bless and love you. And the people that care about you, or maybe they're even strangers, like, people want to walk alongside you and they want to help you and lift you up. And I think that was such an eye-opener for me, because I'm usually the one where I'm like, no, I'm fine. I don't need help. Let's talk about you. You know, let's do this. And maybe that's a deflecting thing too, to not talk about my own stuff, right? But it was also something that I was very passionate about even before treatment, but really coming to a point where I couldn't even get out of bed and people are showing up and bringing food and sending gifts and donations. I mean, it was very humbling. Mm. It just reminded me just that there is so much love and kindness out there. And I think that brought me a lot of hope and joy, even amidst the hard times. And so,
I mean, yeah, and I just love, I love how you shared too. It seems like it opened up this new level of fairness that maybe you weren't even aware of before that existed in that time in your life, and it made you not feel like a burden, which is just such a beautiful thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's so easy.
And we're not a burden, and just because somebody might say that we are, or somebody might, you know, might walk away, just because it's one person or two people, maybe even three people, maybe your family walked away, you're not a burden. You're not. And I think that that's what's really hard when your experiences and your environment shape that type of mentality of your problems are too big or they don't matter. But there are people that do care and that want to be there and want to help and are passionate about this and want to, people have a lot of love to give. Yeah, there's a lot of horrible stuff in this world, but there are people that have a lot of love to give, and you are not pushed to the side of that. Like, you are a candidate and you are loved and wanted and you have purpose. And I just can't express that enough, and that your life really does matter. And there are people that want to walk alongside you. And I really, really learned that through that journey in my life.
Yeah. In addition to what we were talking about, how else did you keep yourself mentally healthy? I know that you developed a real beautiful following and were sharing a lot of what you were going through. And I'd just love to hear more about that and what kind of impact that played on your mental health at that time, and what has kind of stayed for you in your mental health practice, and maybe what's changed a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest one, like we were talking about earlier too, is the journaling and writing, and now taking that from, I still do journaling in a private forum just for myself, and I write things for myself, I write things for my husband, and things that don't make it to the public. But being able to just start a website and just that, hey, you know, I don't even know if anybody's going to read this, but I know that I'm supposed to be doing this. And it has become this amazing way to connect with people and to share my journey and to share the journeys of others. I've been able to share other people who have battled cancer, or caregivers of those who have been diagnosed with cancer. Just being able to walk with other people, sharing stories, bringing awareness. I bring a lot of light to young adult cancer too, and especially just with going through cancer through this age is very interesting. And so it's different. It's very, very different. And so being able to do that has just been such a blessing. And so that's been a big mental health practice for me, and keeping up with a routine. Another thing that I have done, and this I think is really cool, that my counselor actually shared with me when I was going to counseling. I did go to counseling for 6 months after treatment. It was incredible. It was life-giving. There is no shame in going to a counselor. To have somebody that you can talk to, that you can pour out your heart, that you can say what's going on with you, and you don't have to give anything in return. I know it sounds horrible, but you know, like a lot of times, like when you're in a conversation, you're in a dialogue with each other, and you're really able to just process and kind of let it all out there. And then they're there to help you work through it. And I think that is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so going to a counselor is amazing. I think that's an incredible way of doing things. But one of the things that I was saying that my counselor said to me is living a life of hope. And I really had trouble planning events or planning activities or vacations past my scan. And so for me, it was living beyond my scans. And I had scans every 3 months, and now I just upgraded to every 4 months. I scanned very closely, or it's called surveillance, very closely, because the type of cancer that I had was so aggressive. Mm-hmm. And so intentionally planning out ahead, getting excited for things that are coming up. And guess what? Mm-hmm. I have to cancel because something comes up. I have to cancel. No harm, no foul. I have to cancel. And so doing that, and obviously travel protection, I do that on everything too, but that's another thing. But really just living beyond this moment, being excited about what's coming ahead, and also not missing the moment. You know, I don't want to say like just live past the moment that you're in, you know, taking in the moment and grasping the beautiful things in that moment is beautiful, amazing, and fighting through those hard days, but living beyond that and knowing that there's exciting things ahead, there's things that you're looking forward to, kind of gives a life that is rich to continue running after. And so that was a big thing for me, again, living beyond the scan, doing a lot of journaling, starting this blog and Instagram and Facebook, and just like really just processing the journey. It really has been an incredible thing. And I have to say, I've talked about so many different topics between I had an eating disorder when I was in college, talking about that and my battle with nutrition, with food, talking about I lost almost all ability to for fertility in order to have kids through chemotherapy, and opening up about that. I even posted where I was grieving. I lost a friend. Oh, hard to talk about. I lost a friend who was 29 to cancer last April. And just opening up about the grief process. And I can't even tell you how many people have reached out and just said, I feel the same way. I'm going through the same thing. Like, we can walk through this together. And, you know, or your story gave me hope, or here's a message of hope I can give to you. Like, we are not in this alone. As much as we feel isolated, or that battle in our head feels like there's no one else who will understand, there's no one else going through the same thing, that is just not true. I mean, we're all individuals that have unique stories, but the big overlying topics of loneliness and isolation and depression and anxiety, we all feel those in some level. We have that as part of our stories in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not every single one of them, but we have experienced those emotions, because life is hard and there's loss and there's heartbreak and there's just difficult things that we go through, but we can journey together and we can climb and look at the summit and climb that mountain together, or maybe even be carried up the mountain by somebody else. And so that's just my heart with this. And so just to encourage one another and do this together. And so I just want to encourage you, whether it's in your own personal time, writing down and journaling and processing in that way, or sharing that with a friend or a loved one or a stranger in a forum. If you're talking to somebody, there's all kinds of Facebook groups and hashtags on Instagram, or even starting your own blog or website to share your story. Like, it matters. It matters. And we can get through this together. I really, really believe that.
Oh yeah. And I just, it's just so heartwarming to hear the experience you've had, because I can only imagine how vulnerable that must have felt for you, Nicole, to not only be going through what you were going through, but then to decide to publicly share. Can you share a bit more about how that felt for you and what that was like in the start?
Yeah, it was liberating in a way. And I think where it really began for me of just kind of this like letting go, and was whenever I shaved my head. I made the decision to shave my head before the chemo took it. You know, people do it different ways. The reason that I chose that was because, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't have control over, but I was going to be the one to take my hair, not chemo. And so when I shaved my head and I let go of something that I hung on to so tightly, so I was very, very insecure about my weight and how I looked, and I hid behind my hair. I basically judged how I looked that day based on my hair, because I was so unhappy with who I was. But once I let that go, I never felt more free. I never looked at myself like that. I actually saw myself for the first time. And I thank God for that, because I went and I prayed before that happened. And it was just this freeing moment. And I felt kind of a similar thing whenever I came out publicly to share about my cancer journey and to share these photos of me very, very sick going through that. And it's just been just so eye-opening just to get it out there. And I don't know, just to not be ashamed of it, because all go through seasons like this. We all go through that, and some are longer than others. Some of them we have to work through a long time, and some of them maybe it's just a season, whatever that looks like, but we're all going through this. And I just, it has been so freeing, and it kind of makes me feel like it has no hold or grip on me anymore. Like, I feel like we have the victory here. And so my life verse, and so I'm a Christian, and my life verse in scripture is John 16:33, where it says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I just leaned into that. Actually, even before I was diagnosed with cancer, that there were promised that there's going to be hard times, but he has overcome. And so that has just been very encouraging for me. And so I feel that there is victory already. And so we have victory. You're standing, you're taking breaths right now, you're moving, you're listening to this, you're reaching out in some way, whether you say something or not, you are watching this for a reason. I believe that whether you're watching in tears or you just want to help or motivate a friend or a loved one, but you're here for a reason and you're here. And it's so encouraging that the life that you have, you're fighting for, or you're fighting on behalf of somebody else by hearing other people's stories, by journeying, by being a part of what Madison is doing, which is incredible.
Thank you.
Encouraged. And so you're not alone. I can't say it enough. Like, you are not alone. I'll keep saying it until you believe it, because you're not. And I'm right here with you. And I'm there with the tears. I'm there with the celebration. I feel it. I went through it, and I still go through it in so many ways through survivorship. And so, just moving from that to a season of, I guess you would say thriving. I'm just so excited to be alive. I'm so excited to be alive. And that doesn't come without hard days and questioning myself and, days where I really battle with fatigue and have a hard time. But this life is worth living, and you have a unique purpose that only you can do in this life. And that's why you're here. And I'm glad that you are here.
How might we work on supporting each other better during times like these? How do you think we can keep lines of communication open when the instinct could be to close them out of maybe being fearful or saying the wrong thing or not knowing what to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that's really difficult is, you know, whenever we're talking about mental health, you know, we always want to proceed with caution too, because there's so many situations and we don't know everybody's story and where we're at. And so it can be kind of scary to say something, you know, because, oh, that person's going through something worse than I am, or, oh, I guess I'm supposed to be counting my blessings. And so it's hard to talk about that. And I just want to encourage you to just fight through those barriers and just to continue to show up. And sometimes there might not be a word for you to say, but just showing up and being there, listening, continue to tune into these things. And then just, again, maybe it's just hearing that you're not alone. And maybe that's just that baby step for the day. And then maybe the next day is, okay, maybe I'll write a message, or I'll make a comment on something, or I'll read something else, or, you know what, I haven't talked to my sister or my brother in a really long time. I'm just gonna reach out, or, you know, this person really, really loves me. They really care about me. I'm gonna take some time and just say something to them, you know. And I think that that's really hard, because I've even had this conversation before with another friend, and she said, no, like, that's not okay to say that, because somebody who is battling with depression, they don't have the strength to reach out. They need somebody else to reach out to them. And so I was like, oh man, like, that's, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry that I said that. And so if you have the strength to reach out to somebody, I would encourage you to do so, to continue to invest in relationships and forums, and to continue to do that. If you don't, if you're listening to this, and maybe you just need somebody to reach out, maybe just forward this video in an email to somebody as an encouragement. Don't even say a word. Just forward them in a message, and just kind of let them know, hey, this is what I'm going through. Like, this is kind of my call out to you. Or if you're listening to this as a caregiver or a loved one or a family member, that this would encourage you to, hey, you know what, I haven't heard from so-and-so in a while. I need to reach out to them. And so I just think that we just got to keep continuing to support each other and, you know, staying in a tight-knit group of people. And so, because I think the hardest thing is feeling like you slip through a notice. Like, we're all living such busy lives and everyone's trying to accomplish goals, or they're battling difficult circumstances. And so it's hard to feel, or sometimes it's easy to feel unnoticed or unseen. And so I think in moments like this, like, these are for the moments that you feel unseen, that you're seen. And I'm looking right at you, even though I can't see your face through the camera, because I've talked with so many people about mental health and about just going through a hard season of life, or just life has just been hard in general. And so you're not alone in this. And so if this is your first step, that's amazing. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy that you're here and that you took the time to watch this and invest in yourself, because you're worth it. And so again, whatever that looks like, I'm just keeping that community going. I hope that that answers the question that you were asking too. Because I know that it can be a tender topic, it can be hard, and you can feel powerless and weak. And I think that words are so powerful. And so the encouragement to say that you are strong and you are resilient, and this is not forever. Like, this feeling, this emotion, this season is not forever. You're going to get through this, you're going to rise above this. And so that would be just my word of encouragement for that.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. And what are some of those forums that were helpful to you online?
Yeah, absolutely.
So for your friends too.
For me specifically, and I think this might be something to relate to. So for me, sarcoma cancer is very rare. And so I joined sarcoma cancer forums to talk with other people. I've connected with people through certain hashtags, which has been really, really neat. And so looking up hashtags that might relate to mental health, like mental health awareness, mental health, or any type of hashtag that might go to that. Another thing that I was able to connect on in a different way was looking for even more subtypes. And I think that that's exactly what you're doing here, Madison, is talking about mental health with young adults. Mm-hmm. And I think the more honed in on something that we can get, even though it might be a smaller group of people, mm-hmm. but to find a forum that we can jump into that it's more than just our mental health. There's other things that we have to relate to. For me, it was more than cancer. And so I went to a young adult cancer conference that was over 600 people from across the country, all young adults, caregivers, patients who got together for a conference. I also did that with a faith-based cancer group as well. And so finding things, because you're more than your mental health. Like, you are more than that. I'm more than my cancer. You know, we have so many qualities about us that are amazing and beautiful, and more than our bodies, our soul, our spirit. Those are so important. And I learned that when I was on my deathbed. And you just learn that you're so much more. And so I just hope that you hear that too. But any type of thing, I'm saying Facebook, Instagram, just continue to search out and look for those people. And just even if you're just watching and even just creeping through a little bit, just those people that are going to uplift you, bring you up and say things that are real and relatable. I think that that's huge. And so social media has been really good. I'm subscribed to a couple email lists that are encouragements for nutrition. I follow another girl who overcame an eating disorder on Instagram. And I don't even think that I've commented or said a single thing, but I follow along with her. And I'm so encouraged by her journey, by being a part of that and just seeing how she has overcome. And so finding those around you who can help lift you up, and who knows, maybe on the other side, maybe that will be your calling someday too, right? Then you'll be like, you know what? I'm at this point where I'm ready to share, or I want to share, or with an individual that I met, you know, from work or from church, or, you know, to be that person to continue to pay it forward as it's been paid to us. And so that's kind of where I feel a lot of the help and the love has come. So.
My gosh. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like approaching that in that way makes what's happened to us feel fair in some regard, even though life isn't fair. It, you know, the way that you're describing pulling people forward and doing that, it's just, it gives such a great meaning to the suffering we all experience. So thank you for sharing that.
My goodness. Well, and I think through the suffering times that we see, just the perseverance that we see, the character, the hope, and especially when we look back at a time where we're like, I could never get through that in that moment, and we see we did. I think that it's an encouragement to see, like, wow, like the resilience, the strength, being able to move forward. And so when you're in that circumstance, taking a step back and saying, I'm still here, baby. I'm still here. Like, I'm here, and I'm going to keep going and get out on the other side too. And so I know that takes a lot of love from people. For me, it takes a lot of faith, but I just feel just so much hope and so much joy in that. And just to be able to be here right now and talk about this right now, it just brings so much life to me right now, just for the hope that one person hearing this might feel encouraged to take the next step for another day to be here, to know that they're worth it, just to hear that. So.
I mean, like, that's just like so helpful to hear. And I'm so glad that you shared that, Nicole. And when you said, you know, I'm still here, baby, like, that is such a helpful motto. Like, I love that. Like, I'm going to say that now too. Like, it's like.
I actually don't ever said that in my life, to be honest. It just kind of came out. So.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. For you, what is next for you in your mental health journey? I know we kind of talked briefly on the phone about a book and things like that, but just, you know, personal and professional, what's next?
Yeah, absolutely. So on a professional level, like you said, publishing my book, I'm going through the final edits of it. It's been it's a very emotional time. So I can only do it in chunks, just reliving the journey and trying to bring everyone in it, like you were there with me. You know, it brings back a lot of the memories. So it's very emotional. It's very exciting. I feel a very sense of giddiness towards my husband. I get a little bit of anxiety when I write about it too, because just in the depths of it, it was very difficult. And so, yeah, just really working on that. Another thing that actually has just been a development over the last, I think about a week and a half, I actually decided to go back to counseling for another 6 sessions. And so it's actually really amazing. My husband's work, they offer counseling at no charge for himself or for, you know, spouse, for me. And so we decided that it would be a good thing for me to go back to counseling too. And so we found a Christian counselor that I'm going to start seeing for the next few weeks to go through that. Just we've been through a lot of changes with moving from Colorado to Texas and kind of starting over in that regard, and you know, the changes in scans and scan time, and just kind of adjusting to a lot of things. And so I'm actually going to be going back to counseling for a few sessions, and just to see, is this something that I want to continue doing? But just kind of to sit back. It's been about 2 years, I think, since I've been to counseling. And so just kind of see if that's a path that I want to go on, if I need to continue going to that, if it's something that I feel called to do. So I'm really excited about that for mental health, and just, again, kind of reassessing where I'm at right now. So that's a big one in my personal life, and in the book and the professional life are really exciting. So yeah, it's really exciting. It's I think one of the great things that I really appreciate, when you're talking about suffering and the struggles with suffering, I deal with chronic back pain. And so I'm going to physical therapy twice a week, and they believe that I will be able to run again. And that is a huge passion of mine, that I used to hate running with a burning, fiery passion until I couldn't do it. And when I did it a few times before really injuring my back, I had never felt so alive. And so I'm really excited to get back to healing and to be able to run again. So I'm working a lot towards that. But one of the things that I was going to say is the pain that I experienced through that and that suffering, I think it helps to keep me humble, because even though I'm in a state where I'm very grateful, I'm very excited, it gives me a lot of empathy and compassion, because there's a lot of real hurt out there and a lot of really bad things that have happened in circumstances and situations that bring me to my knees and in tears, just hearing other stories of what other people are facing or what they're going through. And so it helps me remain very empathetic too, of that this is, it's hard. It's hard. I'm not by any means saying that this is easy. It's not, but it's worth it, and you're worth it. And just to be able to walk together and just to show that there is a life of hope, that there is joy, but keeping myself like humbled and like, hey, I was in on my deathbed not too long ago, and remembering what that felt like. And I think that some of this chronic back pain that I deal with keeps me in that moment, even though, you know, I wish it was gone, right? But it also keeps me in that moment to really, really empathize and sympathize with people who are going through physical pain and through struggle. That just motivates me so much to just continue to encourage and to try to bring hope and joy to other people as well.
I love that you shared that. And it seems too, like, that source of suffering and compassion that it brings is helpful in connecting us to each other and connecting us to a community of people in such a compassionate way. It's just, it's so great to hear that, that there's that warmth there despite the darkness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where can people find you, Nicole, online?
Yeah, absolutely. So everything's kind of under the same name. And so my website is sparklysurvivor.com. And that's, I have a blog, and I share my experience, the experience of others through cancer, after, and survivorship. But also I kind of share a little bit of my love story too. I am a hopeless romantic, and I am so in love with my husband. So you get to hear a little bit about my husband, and he writes as well as a caregiver from that perspective. I also talk a lot about nutrition. That was a huge battle for me to overcome with an eating disorder, just my war with food. And to finally, after as long as I can remember, being free of, not slave to food, that has been huge. And just kind of learning nutrition and what is working for my body, and just how much better I feel through that. And so talk about that. I love to talk about travel through that as well. And all that's about, I do maybe two times, once or twice a month on there. And then my social media, I post a couple of times a week. Facebook and Instagram, I'm the most active on, and it's just at Sparkly Survivor. And so I still haven't figured out Twitter. I need to get on it. I have one. I'm just never really on it. So, but yeah, Instagram and Facebook are kind of my main sources of social media. But my email address, if anybody wants to talk any further, is just connect@sparklysurvivor.com. So, and anybody can reach out to, you, Madison, if anybody wanted to talk or didn't catch that or anything, I'm happy to speak with anybody who is interested in, you know, carrying the conversation further. I would love to share more of my story. I would love to hear yours and just to walk alongside you with this. And so, yeah, just we're better together, right? Or just better journeying together. So
I completely agree. And I love your approach to what you've gone through and how you're just, you know, walking alongside. Like you said, that's just such a great way to think about our mental health journey, because like we're not in it alone. So it's beautiful and just such a lovely message. And thank you, Nicole, for just sharing your story and just being you. And for those of you guys watching, reach out to Nicole, connect, and let's continue this conversation about mental health. This is really only the beginning. So from team, I'm Madison McGregor, and this is My Time with Madison. I'll see you guys next time.